How important are trees when it comes to mitigating climate change? Can they really make any difference? John Grace is Professor of Environmental Biology at the University of Edinburgh.
Perhaps the most important thing to remember is that trees are a vast store of carbon on the planetary surface. And if we lose the forests, that carbon goes off into the atmosphere as carbon dioxide and contributes to global warming. So conserving the forest is protecting the climate.
And are trees more important than most other types of plants?
Well, trees are important because they have woody stems, massive woody stems. 50% of the dry mass of a tree is carbon. So they're massive stores of carbon, yes.
So what sort of things do we need to do with trees? Do we need to plant more of them or stop them being chopped down?
We can do two things. We can plant more of them. And if we were to organise that on a big scale, that would be very effective. But it might be much easier to simply avoid deforestation, because deforestation releases something like 2 billion tonnes of carbon into the atmosphere. It's in fact about a third of the fossil fuel emissions. And so an obvious thing to do is to reduce that. It would be part of the effort to reduce global warming.
What are the causes of deforestation?
Well, they vary from place to place, but in many parts of the tropics, it's all about converting land to agricultural uses. Sometimes it's all about timber utilization. It's the timber trade. And in other places, it's things like mining, things like development of urban sprawl, all those things together.
Now, they all sound like things that man kind of, well, at least thinks that he needs to continue doing. So how do you stop the deforestation then?
Well, you must make it worth people's while. So for example, supposing you're harvesting forest for timber and you're getting a certain revenue out of it. Well, if you reward people for conserving the carbon and you make it clear that the reward is greater than the income from the timber sales, then that's a good thing. And there's another point, which is that not only are forests stores of carbon, but they're also biodiversity banks, so they contain species. And many people are prepared to pay for species, and they're also prepared to pay for carbon saved.
And has this idea been tested out anywhere successfully?
Yes, quite a lot of projects. In Africa alone, where I've been working, there are about 17 projects which are all about avoided deforestation. We have one in Mozambique, for example.
How likely do you think that this can be sort of scaled up and become a sort of a viable alternative?
I think it can be scaled up if it somehow becomes part of some international convention. And the signs are that that's happening. At a meeting in Bali, it was agreed that this sort of thing would go forward.
You say it was agreed in Bali. Does that mean governments are getting behind it and might actually put some money into it?
Yes, governments are getting behind it. And it's going to be something which essentially the rich countries will pay the poorer countries to conserve their forests. So money will flow from rich countries to poor countries. It will contribute to sustainable development as well as conservation of species and conservation of carbon.
Now, this sounds like something that's more sort of grant-aided rather than something that actually is a viable commercial business. Is that the case?
There are two ways of doing it. There is at the moment what we call the voluntary sector. So all kinds of companies, individuals, pop groups, people like that are prepared to pay companies for carrying out projects on the ground on a fairly small scale. So that's one thing. But probably in the long run, you have to do it at a much bigger scale. At a national scale, all the countries of the world trading with each other in carbon. That's how it's going to be, I think.
What exactly is carbon trading?
If you conserve carbon or if you sequester carbon, then you can be rewarded with certificates that are verified by a kind of environmental audit company, of which there are quite a lot. And so you have a certificate to show that you have offset some carbon, and the certificate becomes tradable in a carbon trading system. And there's a market value for carbon. So you might even regard it as an investment. Over the course of some years, they may become more valuable, and so they would be an investment.
And lots of things suck up carbon in different ways, and it seems to be that everyone tells me it's very difficult to measure the exact amount of carbon that is being sequestered. So actually, how accurate are these certificates?
Well, if you're growing a forest, for example, what you do is you measure the diameter of the trees. Right at the beginning, let's say there's a grassland to begin with, so there's very little carbon. And then as the trees grow, you measure the diameters of the trees, and then you use equations to calculate how much carbon is present in the trees. These equations will give you the carbon content to within about 10%.
And how robust do you think this whole system is at the moment?
Well, I think it's an embryonic sort of industry. I think you might say the financial industry as a whole, how robust is it? I mean, people make investments and they're not robust. Nothing is all that robust in the financial world, and carbon is one of those things. But it's an embryonic industry and people are still working out the best way to do it. And so I think over the next decade, it'll become much more robust.
And what things, from your point of view, do you think right now need to be changed?
At the moment, there are lots of ways of certifying carbon. There are many, many schemes around in the form of standards. They all have different requirements. Now, there needs to be some harmonisation. It's like having different currencies all over the world, and you can't really convert one into the other. So I think there is a good deal of talking to do in order to harmonise the trading systems, the systems of certification, and so on.
That's John Grace, Professor of Environmental Biology at the University of Edinburgh.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.